I want you to see this because it really sets the stage for what is up here and the person I'm going to introduce in a minute who's in the back, and some things that we're doing that involve and include you. And so let's get it rolling and knock the lights.
Hello. Thank you for joining me for Give Him 15. The title of today's post is Tell the Old Stories. I am asked at times to do posts on specific subjects. They are usually worthy ideas and or subjects worth discussing and praying about. Some I do, others I don't, for a variety of reasons. Other subjects seem to scream a little louder at the time, not feeling qualified to address the subject, and others. Last week, however, I received an interesting request, which I feel is right. I was asked to redo a post from several months ago. It mentions the Appeal to Heaven book, so in that sense, it's timely. But the main subject is the power and importance of history. I hope you enjoy it. In my book, and this is now reading from that post, in my book, An Appeal to Heaven, I mention an important phrase spoken to me several years ago by Holy Spirit, the synergy of the ages. This phrase was shared with me during a season when Holy Spirit was emphasizing the importance of honoring past generations. In short, the synergy of the ages is multiplied power through generational agreement and honor. Scriptures clearly teach that the generations are linked, with both blessings and curses flowing from one generation to the next. Like it or not, Adam's sin and resulting sin nature was, in fact, passed on to us. God sees the generational connection so literally that he routinely makes a promise to one generation, knowing it won't be fulfilled until a future generation. Bloodlines are so connected spiritually that the tithe Abraham paid to Melchizedek was credited to his great-grandson, Levi. Hebrews 7:9 says, through Abraham, even Levi paid tithes. What my ancestors have done, my family history, affects me, and what I do impacts those who come after me. The power and importance of understanding this connection to history can be seen through a stirring dream given to Julie Meyer, an internationally known worship leader and seasoned intercessor. Julie, in fact, gave me the word from Holy Spirit that resulted in Give Him 15. And you can use the link here to go to the post where I talk about that, if you'd like, for the whole story. As the dream began, Julie saw seven ambulances lined up, each with lights flashing. Growing very concerned, she looked into the back of one of the ambulances and saw a non-responsive person on a gurney. Next to the patient was an attendant working feverishly to revive him. Julie immediately knew the attendant was an angel, who looked at her and said, "I can't find a heartbeat." She went from one ambulance to the next, finding the same scenario. Patients on gurneys with angels attending them, trying to restart their hearts. Suddenly, one of the angels looked directly at Julie and confided, "It's the intercessors." And these are my comments, not the dream. Many intercessors have prayed years for revival, but revival hasn't materialized. And some of them have experienced what Proverbs 13:12 refers to as hope deferred. And as this verse teaches, hope deferred has made their hearts sick. Traveling across America, I can attest to the truthfulness of the dream. As Julie's dream continued, suddenly one of the angels shouted, "I found a heartbeat, but it's very faint." The other angels grew excited and inquired, "What did you do?" The first angel's response was surprising. "Tell the old stories." When I started telling her stories of what God did in the past, her heart began to beat. With that, these heavenly attendants began speaking to the intercessors about the first great awakening, the second great awakening, and other Holy Spirit outpourings, right up through the healing revivals and tent meetings of the 1940s, 50s, and 60s. As they did so, the hearts of all the intercessors started to beat again. At this point in the dream, an angel looked at Julie and instructed her, "Tell the old stories of what God has done in the past." This was powerful to me. The angelic messenger then added instructions that stirred my heart even more. "Tell the intercessors to put themselves in the storyline, because the old stories are also their stories." What a profound and intriguing thought. Who among us thinks this way? We should, however. God has one overarching plan for humankind. We're all part of the same unfolding drama. Our generation's role in history is simply another act of yesterday's play. Our battles are conflicts in one ongoing war. Every revival in history is but a sequel in Holy Spirit's ongoing series of outpourings. And every soul saved enters the same spiritual family. Our stories, though many, are one. Put yourself in the storyline, because the old stories are actually your stories. For too long, we Christians, even those who are students of church history, have viewed accounts of past moves of God as, well, history. We love those old stories, but we certainly haven't thought of them as something we can agree with in prayer, connect to, or draw power from, and we've certainly never thought of them as our stories. They are past tense, a dead history. I had never thought of Wesley and his Methodists as my movement. Finney's awakening certainly hadn't been my awakening, and William Seymour's Azusa Street outpouring wasn't claimed as mine. Most of us simply don't think that way. Our short-sighted reasoning has stolen from us the synergy of the ages. We've not put ourselves in the storyline. Since we don't typically align with past movements or agree with past prayers, this has all too often led to the segmentation of the ages, forcing each generation's intercession and effort to stand on its own. And the results can be more devastating than that. God says that when generations disconnect, it creates a curse. On the other hand, putting ourselves into God's storyline, past, present, and future, allows us to tap into the strength and life flowing from what He did years ago. We begin to understand the eternal purposes of God, not just the purposes we feel are for our present time. When we do this, He then can continue through our generation what He began with previous generations. And according to Hebrews 11, verse 40, those who came before us, now watching from the balcony of heaven, can finally see their promises fulfilled. Reinforced by Julie's dream, this revelation opened my heart to many portions of the story we as a generation need to identify with. History came alive. I knew we could insert ourselves into the storyline of Charles Finney, believing that city-changing revivals would be rekindled in our day. We could agree with the powerful prayers of Reese Howells for revivals that would shake nations. We could join the efforts of Martin Luther King Jr. and see his dream of racial healing in America reach its intended goal. The great cloud of witnesses had finally become more than mere spectators and cheerleaders to me. They were an earlier leg of a relay race, waiting for someone to grasp their baton. This truth pierced my conscience. God began the process of connecting my heart and actions with those who had lived before me. My life began expanding, being defined not just by an 80 or 90 year destiny, but also by an intergenerational purpose. I realized I was part of a historical chain planned by God and built with human lives. Back to the Future took on a new meaning. Like Elijah's servant Elisha, I would need to connect with the past in order to find my future. The power Elisha needed today was hidden in his yesterday. Reaching back would not only bring added significance to my life, but also to the lives of those who had lived before me. And God's love of relational connection would find fulfillment, causing him to release an entirely new level of spiritual power. The synergy of the ages. Incredible. I immediately began processing this revelation in the context of my calling to America. It was obviously relevant to praying for nations. I now could connect with America's story more personally, joining my heart to the prayers and dreams of pilgrims, colonists, pioneers, and every other generation who helped write our story. Whatever the cost, I determined to do my part in keeping the dream alive. Pray with me. Father, to our harm, we have not understood the power of connecting with those who ran the race before us. The costly result is that each generation starts over in its pursuit of spiritual power and authority rather than experiencing generational momentum. But revelation has come, and we understand how important it is to you that we honor, connect with, and build on the efforts of those gone before us. Their stories are our stories. And this day, we put ourselves in the storyline. We agree with their decrees. In God we trust. One nation under God. For the propagation of the gospel to all the nations of the earth. We now understand why Satan and his partners try to steal our history. They lie about it, distort it, and rewrite it. Satan tries to steal our history with you because he knows there's power in it. Power in the destiny you gave us. Power in the covenants and promises our founders made to you and you to them. But we agree with the great Winston Churchill, quote, "The truth is incontrovertible. Malice may attack it, ignorance may deride it, but in the end, there it is. End quote. And we pledge to you this day, Father, we will war for and with our righteous history, our decree. We decree as the Ecclesia of Jesus Christ in America, we are now in the storyline. We are connected to the evangelism well of Cape Henry, the ringing of the Leviticus 25 bell of liberty in Philadelphia, and the appeal to heaven flag of 1776. With these and other weapons from our past, we will take out the giants trying to destroy this nation. Amen. Most of today's post was taken from
that was good. This is kind of changing my world a little bit. And so just in a few minutes, let's see if we can unpack some of this. This is Kim Smith. Would you welcome Kim? Kim is one of our gals from down south, and we had a prophetic person. We had a prophetic person that's come to our church a number of times. Most recently, last year, twice, and actually, she works with Dutch. I didn't know that at the time, but they work together, and that would be Patty. Yes. And she imparted something to me that really has become life altering for me. Without which, probably, I would probably retire. And Karen and I would just go shopping for more shoes. So something was imparted. And that something is kind of what he's talking about and what Kim has put together here. In a prayer session, Holy Spirit spoke to me to hire her. And so I did. And she functions as, she kind of works for all of us in the state of Oregon. Garden Valley pays her, but she's working for Grace International, Oregon. And that'll make more sense here in a minute. Kim is a historian / spiritual geologist. And she is beginning to uncover, and that's what we have here, and here, and here, and there, and in a lot of other places, research to help us do a couple things. One, we need about six more churches in the state of Oregon, ASAP. And that would put us to what, John? 24. Which is kind of a tithe of the state. Not in terms of the gross numbers, but You unpacked that for us last night. We need about six more churches. And there are some places that we're discovering on the map that are, they have a rich heritage. And there are wells that have been covered over that we need to redig. And you might need to redig some wells in your own city as well. So, Kim, mm-hmm. tell us what you are discovering here and kind of how come you said yes?
Oh, when he asked, my heart went pitter-patter, I guess. It struck a chord with me. And then it was that following weekend, we had another prophetic person in church. And the word I got, it was so in line with this. It was amazing. So I know Cammie was talking how words can verify, confirm something we've been given. And so that was really huge and confirming. I'm not a historian buff. This is totally starting from scratch. But I have a lot of connections and know a lot of different people. And I knew people who had pieces of this and pieces of that and a piece here and a piece there. So I started gathering it, Googling with just searches and those things. And I knew a little bit of our history in Roseburg. We had a revival well there, which part of this is about. And just started piecing together this information that I've been discovering, buying books, some CD-ROMs, and just barely scratching the surface right now. But it's exciting. And as I actually found a testimony from Roseburg, Oregon from 1926. And it was pretty amazing, the things that are out there. So we can go to those old wells and claim that heritage that we have is so, so powerful.
Good. So for time's sake this morning, because there's an exercise we're all going to do together in just a minute. You can come check this thing out at your leisure with just some of the historical facts. For example, Kim discovered that we've had some of household names, Smith Wigglesworth, Charles Price. What are some others?
Charles Parnham, John Lake, Amy Semple McPherson was through here once. Just quite a lot of the old healing evangelists.
Names that we may not know what their faces look like, but they're names that are well known. They frequented the Northwest a lot. It is, I had no idea how often they visited, especially the Portland-Vancouver area, but all the way down to Ashland, into the state of Washington, and even in Idaho. And so here's a really personal thing. I had no idea. I don't know that any of the pastors in Roseburg even have a clue. There was such a move of God in Douglas County in the early 1900s. Some men got together and built an 800-seat auditorium in Roseburg in 1926. It was dedicated in 26. Simply to house the evangelist and what God was doing in the community. I had no idea. Now it blew up when Roseburg had an explosion and the building, I guess, got flattened. But it tells me that something happened. Listen, in the 20s, to have an 800-seat auditorium strictly for a special evangelistic meetings is no small deal. It's no small deal. And that was happening. you can't see it too well from where you're at. You'd have to come look at it. But there's Kim's got little stick pins all up and down in various cities, some of which is your city, that represent hot spots where these evangelists would come and revival began to break out in these cities. And here's what's exciting to me as an old guy. And what he said. You and I need to learn how to partner with prophetic promises that were spoken over our region. And in some cases, the very cities where we are at right now. And there is absolutely no reason from this moment on for you and I to ever be discouraged because we're not seeing what we want to see. You need to be encouraged. I'm very encouraged. And so there are some wells we need to redig, and there maybe are some intercessors in your church as there are in Roseburg that need to be reignited. I think it was also significant last night, Cammie, that you had some of the intercessors stand up. And so give us one more minute, and then Lynn, where's Lynn? Come on up, Lynn. Tell us something amazing.
In 1 minute? I thought this is really neat. So a little bit about 1923, Amy Semple McPherson was in Lodi, California, and was blowing up down there. Charles Price got radically touched by Holy Spirit and began his West Coast journey. In 1923, he was in Roseburg, Oregon. That started the process of the church being dedicated in 1926 that would hold 800 people. So last year, we did a David's tent kind of a thing, and somebody else, and partner with other churches and intercessors in your town too, because this is another lady who knew some of the history. We ended up having a 50-hour worship tent down at the site of this old church. It's right across from the courthouse, and it was really powerful. A fella came and shared. His generational line were not kind to the Native Americans, let's say, and there was another fellow there representing the Native Americans, and there was what a release that happened as they went through process of repentance and forgiveness and all that generationally, and it was really, really powerful. So that's something that has happened. Even before this project came up, it was really powerful. So that didn't include my minute, did it? I wanted to read something about the Klamath Indians.
We need a church in Klamath Falls.
Boy, yeah.
So somebody needs to get excited about Klamath Falls. I don't know that I've ever been there.
It's neat. I've driven through a few times, yeah.
Does anybody here know anything about Klamath Falls? Yeah.
We used to have a real strong contact there during the summer camps and our family camps. One of the pastors that came every year was from Klamath.
Okay.
So God is God. He talks to who he wants when he wants to talk to him, right? So this is a note. This is from the Golden Grain, which is a publication that Charles Price put out. And this is in his first publication in 1926. The second publication had the information about Roseburg, three churches being dedicated in Klamath, Eugene, and Roseburg. That's a picture of the Roseburg church over there with some congregation, Charles Price, and this is listed. And all this is available for you guys to take, to look. It's there's things there for Washington, Oregon, and Idaho. It has a list of the cities.
Idaho. Find out what God has been doing in your state. It might blow your mind.
And there's also copies of the research of websites and things like that. I just printed some off so you could all have them if you wanted. And these you can take down and look at. So this is all. Don't take the books. I haven't read them all yet. But you can look at them. They're ones that were recommended. So this was in Klamath. Missionaries went to visit the Klamath Indians. And so I'm just going to go into the middle of this. We believe God healed the sick. We believe in the power. We believe. Get happy. We believe. Wait a minute, interrupted the evangelist, whose mind was rapidly being filled with visions of medicine men and wigwams and war dances and the like. What about Jesus? Oh, we believe in Jesus. Why, brother? We believe the blood of Jesus saves us from our sins. Whiter than snow, answered the redskin. Well, praise the Lord, said the astonished preacher. That sounds fine. But who taught you? Who was your missionary? No man teach us, answered Indian gravely. God teach us. And white man tell us. No white man tell us. My people, Klamath tribe, believe now for 50 years. Some white preachers say, we crazy. We not crazy. We believe what God say. Heal the sick. Believe in Jesus. And someday he is coming back to earth for the Indians who believe. Not even missionary God. So, you know, people would say, well, when God reaches all the nations, I mean, God could reach, and he doesn't need us to do his work. And I thought that was really amazing that we have a rich, rich heritage here in Oregon of moves of God with missionaries and without missionaries is by evidence for that. So,
good. All right. Lynn, this is Lynn Furter. Lynn is on staff at Garden Valley, and she is a prayer strategist. That's what we call her. And I have asked Lynn to help us that are here today respond to Dutch, his message, and what we need to do, how we can begin to cooperate.
Amen.
One thing we did, I'm just now thinking, reminded of this, when we built onto our building a number of years ago, I never met the man, I never met O.C. Harms. I met his wife and I didn't like her. I didn't like her. Respected her, but she was mean. She didn't like my facial hair. She didn't like how I dressed. She commented on the fact that I don't wear socks. I thought, I don't know that I could have survived in those days. I just don't think I could have. But I respect the heritage that husband and wife and their family and all that is now Grace International, that heritage was passed on to me. And so when you walk into our fellowship hall, we have a plaque there to remind all of the Garden Valley people who O.C. Harms is, though I never met the man. We are in connection with him. And his vision, and so I don't know what you got there, but bring it to us. Okay.
Amen. Amen. Is this good stuff so far? Wow.
And
yes.
I know he just ran out, so we're probably on overtime right now.
Okay.
But
so let's just do this in a minute or two. Then does that sound good?
Do you want?
However, you want them to do it.
You know what? Why don't we stand up? And we're going to just make an appeal to heaven, right? Let's just cry out to the Lord for our cities. And later, what I would love for you to do is, you know, when you get back home, get your people together and do this and really make an appeal and cry out to heaven on behalf of your city. But let's do this right now. And if you're near people in your city, you know, just kind of form a little group there if you can get in your city area. And yes,
let's take 30 seconds. Okay. And we'll just start right here. Just
quick.
Call out the name of your
yes,
city.
I love that.
Just get it started. We'll move it this way, and then we'll start here, go to the back, and then
thank
call
you,
out
God.
The name of your city.
Valley. Amen, Lord. Amen.
Merkley.
Eugene. Roseburg. Shelley.
Pocatello.
Columbia, Washington.
Vidal.
Right here. Yakima. Southern Oregon.
Vancouver.
Camas.
Coeur d'Alene.
Idaho.
Sutherland.
Keep going. Keep going.
Falls, Idaho.
Amen.
Sutherland.
Who's next on the back row?
South Bend, Washington.
And up against the wall. Amen. Woo, California. Is that it? Did we get them all?
Yes.
All right. Well, Lord, you heard the names of these cities, and we cry out to you, God, that we would step into the storyline. Lord, that we start where the others left off. Were they built altars? Were they built memorials? Would you show us where these things are, God, that we can uncover and redig and have yesterday's treasures of darkness become today's hidden wealth in secret places? We ask, God, that we would step into this, Lord, and we would be the sequel to the legacy that they left behind. Together, our stories combine in the mystery of history's timeline orchestrated by the divine hand of a providential God who has a big plan. Lord, we are not going to stand by and let history unfold and just watch. We are going to take the main lead role, God, and step in and rewrite or write the chapters that we will leave behind for the next generations. We ask for your power and your might and your divine wisdom and counsel to guide us through all of this. And we bless our cities in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.